Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
All right, let's go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. Worth noting, I should have mentioned this earlier on in the show, but I guess we've just been frustrated on a Reaction Tuesday. It's also a Texans Ticket Tuesday. If you're interested in sitting very close to the action in the Houston home game, you want to keep it locked. In the noon o'clock hour, we will be giving away some tickets to the bullpen. Great tickets, mind you.
It's Rapping Nacetown Day, I want to say.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It is. I just find it funny that the particular day we're doing it on is one where, I don't know, I very much imagine there's people under the sound of my voice that are like, man, book them tickets. I want to see them jokers. Like, I guess
that's
the
trigger.
I can see that might be it. Like, Texas Ticket Tuesday in and of itself. But yeah, keep it locked for that later. We also be giving away a pair of tickets to, or it was a 4-pack of tickets to the Cougars game when they host West.
What's the 6-1 Cougars?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. 6-1, man.
Right there atop the Big 12, along with everybody else.
The best football team in the city.
Ooh.
I'm going to leave that where it stands. Of course, your Texans fall in that Monday night, one of the two Monday night football games, 27-19. They fall to 2-4. In the course of this game, there was some interesting notes. One of the funny things and one of the things that the Seahawks did to continue to give the Houston Texans life, as early on they were up 14-0. They were driving. They were in the red zone, I believe, if memory serves, or at least
close,
they were in the shadow of the red zone, looking like they were going to go and get the old 21 skunk. Up until they got cute with it, Clint Kubiak did, and they ran a little wide receiver pass. Cooper Kupp threw up an interception. That is one of six career passes that has been thrown by Cooper Kupp with zero completions. He now has the second most passes in a career without a completion since the merger. That was his first interception of his career as well. So shout out to Cooper Kupp, who did have a big play, but also had a big one for the Texans there. Shout out to also to Kalen Ballock getting on the board there with that interception. Another thing from that game that was interesting as well, obviously Jackson Smith and Jigba had a fantastic game. He is the first Seahawks receiver to have 700 rushing or receiving yards, rather, in his first seven games of the season.
And by far the leading receiver. You know, some of the things in the NFL, some of the things he did, You can almost say nobody in the league could have stopped that. But this was sort of one of my, it's almost like a mini confession. I don't know if it's a confession or just an observation or whatever it was. Like, that's the first time I've ever seen Derek Stingley look worked.
Dude,
he spun him around.
As much as it's actually possible to really enjoy the play of an opponent while you're seeing a game that's just deeply frustrating, that's what I felt like watching Jackson Smith and Jigba. His route running is gorgeous. Like, on that end breaker where he just created a load of separation on Derek Stingley. Stingley was there. He's flat footed because Jackson Smith and Jigba, the footwork leading up to his break is just perfect.
He's a lot better than I thought.
He is incredible. And you watched him Saturday out.
Yeah, I thought he was good.
Yeah,
but I'm like, he might be probably one of the better Ohio State receivers.
Well, again, to me, the biggest tell was I've never seen Now, to be fair,
in fact, not just
Lassiter too.
Yeah, Lassiter, he got on the outside too with a crazy good outbreaking
route.
Not
that Derek Stingley didn't have his moments. He did, because he's great. But that's the first time ever I've seen Derek Stingley go, I kind of went, ooh. Yeah. You know,
and that's kind of a compliment, yes, to be honest, yes, how good he is. Mm-hmm.
With that game, the NFC is 25-13 against the AFC this year.
That means something.
Better NFC is the better side of this. And what's funny is coming into the season, I wouldn't have gotten anywhere close.
Look at what was in the AFC: Ravens, Bills. You know, yeah. Chiefs, Texans, you know, I know it sounds awful now, but yes.
It kind of show you how wide open the AFC is, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does, both.
And yet and still, the Texans have the 10th best record in the AFC behind the Joe Flacco-led Cincinnati Bengals. If that don't make you feel sick, if that does not, right above, mind you, the 2-5 Las Vegas Raiders. I mean, you are in the
door. And the Cleveland Browns.
Oh, yeah, the Cleveland Browns.
You got the same amount of wins as the Cleveland Browns.
Oh God!
Yeah. So that was the thing that happened. The other Monday night game though was really, really entertaining. Like, hopefully you were able to at least get some fun football, even though it was very evidently always in hand for the Detroit Lions, because the Buccaneers offense was not going anywhere. 24-9 victory for the Lions, in which Jahmyr Gibbs had over 200 all-purpose yards. We've had a number of running backs mm-hmm. look fantastic in the all-purpose division.
Oh, running backs, huh?
Jahmyr Gibbs, part of that. Now, of course, a lot of this, a big 78-yard rush for him, but still, hugely fantastic game for him. The real note, I think, in this one was, I think that this might put it's definitely going to put a huge damper on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers season. Is this the death knell? In this game, Mike Evans, who, mind you, is returning from a hamstring injury in this game. He sustained a hamstring injury in week 3, he'd been sidelined. He comes back week 7. Here we go. He comes back, and in the second quarter of the game, he deals with a right shoulder injury.
Clavicle now is what they're saying.
Suffered a concussion, broken clavicle. Yeah. He will be done for the season per Todd Bowles.
Collarbone, as they say. A death knell for the biggest of aspirations? I would say yes.
Okay.
I still think, you know, they won without him, you know, and they won big without him, and they had good wins without him, but I don't know if this team is capable without you know, Ibuka and Mike Evans of making the big run.
Yeah, it feels tough, because Mike Evans just matters so much in what they're doing. Mm-hmm. That was a team though that you looked at. If you're looking at a wide receiver core 1 through 3 or 4, mm-hmm. they had that kind of depth.
It was kind of stacked.
Yeah. But they've had a lot of injuries there. I mean, Cade Otton had a good game, although I think he had an interception that happened in his as he couldn't control a football. And then Emeka Egbuka still showing up pretty solidly, although he couldn't reel in nearly as much of the opportunities that he had in this game. I think they still have pieces.
No, they're going to be good, and they're going to win games. But if you're saying
that ultimate,
yeah
you need Mike Evans need though Mike if you're Evans. Trying to get far.
Yeah,
and I think what that also means is that Mike Evans will not have that 1,000 yards.
Yeah,
which really does suck for obviously the Galveston kid, the Texas A&M kid. It feels like he's always had these things that snagged him, and he's always just found a way to grit out, get his 1,000 yards, and continue to prove that he is one of the better wide receivers in the league. Unfortunately, this year, he won't have that opportunity this season. Some other things around the NFL, and mind you, Football Talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on local NFL, Sundays with the NFL on CBS at Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday, all season long. Just visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The Baltimore Ravens, they had their bye week this past week along with the Texans, and they're looking at returning. The first opportunity to see if somebody was going to, or not along with the Texans, they had the bye week 7.
Yeah.
And so they're getting up for week 8. If you were looking to maybe try and get back on track, there's one name that you need in order to get them back on track with. And who is it?
Who?
Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson's still out, by the way, with his hamstring as they get off a bye. So it feels like this season is just gone for them. Like,
it sure does.
Like, they in theory, you get Lamar Jackson back, you can play better football. But there's all the other stuff that's happening around the team is really problematic. To the point that the Baltimore Sun, the paper of record there in Baltimore, apparently reported that Ravens coaches have removed quote-unquote distractions from the locker room after they lost to the Chiefs, like ping pong video games.
You got to get rid of ping pong. Come on now.
Clearly, this is what has held the Baltimore Ravens back from being their best selves, being a team that goes to the AFC Championship game, is that them boys is in the locker room playing ping pong all the damn time.
Yeah. They said, no Chinese, no food. You can't eat nothing. No ribs.
No ribs. And by the way, they're still
going to play. No champagne. You can't eat nothing.
They're still going to play video games. I promise you they're still going to play video games if they do it, and just do it on their phone. But ping pong, boy, that's a big hit, man. That's a big hit in the locker room.
That's like when my mom used to take the controller away from my room from playing the video game when I bring it home a bad report card. Mm-hmm. Like, nope, no video games.
What kind of kid were you? Were you the kid that found something else? Were you the kid that knew where it was and went and got it?
Nah, it was no way in hell I could get it.
Oh, yeah?
But nope. You knew where she kept it?
I did, but she was on me. It was a smaller house. It was no way I can just sneak and do it.
Yeah.
Like, it was a small ass house. My room was right next to hers.
Oh, you had no chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had no chance.
Fair enough. I did mention, and the person who got that interception and wrestled it away from Cade Otton, Arthur Millett.
I know that name.
Yeah. Because I had that same reaction. It was an incredible play.
It was a great play.
In that game.
Yeah.
This Lions team is fantastic. Mm-hmm. This Lions team is playing really, really good football. I did mention the concussion that was also suffered along with that broken clavicle for Mike Evans. D'Amico Ryans did make a note that Nico Collins is in the concussion protocol.
I think he said he has a concussion.
Or he has a concussion, rather.
That was surprising to me, you know.
Well, that he had a concussion. When you saw the play, the way it went.
That he said that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he just said he's got a concussion. And I went, "How? Okay, follow up, Joe Mixon?" You know?
Yeah, I was like, apparently we are allowed to give insight into some players' injuries, just not all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ain't nobody say mind your business around that one.
Yeah.
We'll have let him the process unfold.
Which, by the way, he ain't playing this week.
Yeah, I don't know if he's playing this week.
He's not going to play this
week. Yeah, I mean, if he's dealing with a concussion, likelihood is he's not going to play.
I'm surprised CJ ain't dealing with one because I felt like he landed the same thing. Yeah. It looked like the same damn landing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
no, that's rather large.
When his head whipped back, Nico, on that sideline, I was like, ooh.
I got a headache looking at that.
Yeah.
When I saw him put his two hands on his helmet, I was like, oh, that's, wrap this thing up, big dog.
Yeah. It's funny. I think ESPN was like, oh, yeah, it looked like he might have a neck injury.
Nope.
I'm like, I hope it's a neck injury. Man.
I don't know if I hope it's a neck injury because neck injury feel like it'll
strain your neck.
Yeah, it looked like it was like some soreness or something like that. Yeah. But I'm like, I hope it's that because that looked like a head injury.
Yeah.
Some other things around the NFL. How do you react to the, actually, before we get there, let's go to this one because, two-time Super Bowl champion Brandon Graham, who had announced retirement, has now announced that he will be returning to sign with the Eagles. How do the Eagles keep getting away with this, right? Like, they have a player retire in the middle of the season and someone else is like, I will step up and jump into that pass rushing, role. Yeah. Brandon Graham comes back from retirement.
I mean, clearly that was something that he had been considering because he's clearly been working out at an NFL level, et cetera. So maybe it was a combination of, hey, we need you, and hey, I'm ready to come back.
He probably was like, hey, let me know if you need me.
Yes, exactly.
I'm still working the old JJ thing.
Yeah, the old JJ thing.
Who is still holding out there that JJ might do this?
Man, it's over,
You mean
man.
He's not?
All right.
He looks like he weighs 190 pounds, by the way.
Yeah.
I do find that fascinating about, like, guys in the trenches. Mm-hmm. You go one of two ways when you retire.
Yeah.
You lose a lot of that weight. Or you just get, like, you just big.
Mm-hmm. It seems like the guys in the trenches always lose the weight. Mm-hmm. And then you got, like, the receivers or the running backs, cornerbacks gain all of the weight, man.
Who was I can't remember. There was a running back that did some sort of tribute and went, damn, he was.
No, it was, I think I saw Darrell Revis.
Was it Darrell
Revis?
Darrell Revis got a round face.
I'm like, you don't look like you played corner.
Darrell Revis made me think a little bit about, who's it, Raymond Felton?
Yeah.
that's where my brain went. I was like, oh, okay. You were enjoying, although it always makes me happy. I'm like, you're enjoying life, because clearly, there's a point in time in your life, like, your body probably more naturally wants to be in this place, and you were fighting it when you were playing the league. So kudos to you.
I respect it.
He had discipline, and then he didn't need it.
And then he was like, screw it. I'm retired, baby.
I'm done.
We paid.
Yeah.
I see you on the text line, and so I will do this for you, but I was going to mention this anyways. The Titans will release Tyler Lockett at his request. The veteran wide receiver, K-Stater, shout out, played with the Seattle Seahawks for a very long time. They eventually let go of him in the offseason, and he decided to sign with the Tennessee Titans. First and foremost, Do you agree with him getting to this place where he's like, please release me. I would like to play somewhere else. Because I know I was talking with Pendergast last night when we were watching the game. And he's like, I have no sympathy. You knew what you were signing up for. And I'm like, not quite. He thought he was signing up for a team that was clearly bad previously but was trying to get better and obviously was adding players and did not anticipate 6 or 7 weeks in all of the things falling apart. Do you have any sympathy for him in that?
I actually do. I'm more on your side on that. I mean, you don't know how it's the bleep show that you're getting into until you're in it. He did get what he signed up for, but then when he was there, it wasn't what he signed up for. You know,
yeah, I mean, how much did he get paid too? Was it like a nice little contract where he like, yeah, oh, okay, they paid? Okay, because if it was about the money, then I'm fine with it.
Yeah,
I mean, he got a 1 year, $4 million contract.
Oh, that wasn't.
Yeah, that's nothing.
Which honestly. Takes me to the next question from the 281, the 979, both asked Tyler Lockett ? As if to say, would you sign Tyler Lockett? And no.
Brother, you can't even get the rookies on the field,
no,
man.
No, I would not. Like, I understand, though, because, again, Nico
Collins.
Did he
go to John Carroll?
I told you he went to K-State.
Okay.
I just told you that.
Then you know the answer.
The Iowa State cast ain't go to John Carroll. Braxton Berrios ain't go to John Carroll.
I don't know. Maybe they transferred.
Christian Kirk ain't go to John Carroll.
It's mostly coaches.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, I wouldn't. You saw it in Seattle. Like he's lost a little bit of a step. I don't know that he provides you any level of separation or anything fantastic. Plus, I think also you adding guys in the wide receiver room to this team. Like I understand the theory because last night it looked like it was either Nico Collins, who left this game hurt, Dalton Schultz, who was on the sideline a number of times hurt, or the Pips. Like, that's what it felt like. Actually, no, that's not fair.
Jalen Noel,
when they decided to actually let him out of his cage, was able to make some plays.
When jumping, he got out of Braxton Berrios' shadow?
Yeah, which isn't that big of a shadow. Braxton Berrios ain't that big of a dude.
No, he's not.
But, yeah. Like
drafted by the Patriots, by the way.
Thank you.
2018.
Thank you for bringing that. Is that going to go all day? I just want to check.
I don't know.
That's a yes. That I don't know. That's a yes. Also, you missed the great opportunity to say it is what it is.
Oh, God. Right there. I'm not going to say that.
In that moment. Yeah. But, yeah.
That's a trigger.
You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. That's around the NFL. All right. Coming up next, let's circle back to this Texans team. Just how out of his depth is Nick Caley? 713-572-4610. Let's do that next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes. Hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including Arc. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
It is a Reaction Tuesday, and buddy, that means we are not having the most fun after the Texans lose 27-19. In Seattle, and it's not the fact that, well, no, let me not lie. It is the fact that they lost, but it's also the way that they lost. Like, it is a double whammy of sorts, and I think that the offense, first and foremost, because the defense, even though I don't think the defense was anywhere near perfect, I'm looking right now at Good Morning Football, and they've got Will Anderson Jr. managing to get a strip sack, fumble recovery for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right? We saw a... Four turnover game?
Four turnovers.
You won the turnover battle.
Two interceptions, what, two fumbles?
You won the turnover battle by three.
Yeah.
And I think teams are now 9-1 when they win the turnover battle.
That is correct.
Yeah.
Who was the one loss?
Who do you think?
The Houston Texans, Monday Night Football, October 20th, 2025. Like, that's how poorly your offense was able to show up. That's how non-existent the complimentary football was for the Houston Texans offense. And look, there's obviously blame that goes in a lot of different places. But the man at the helm of this, Nick Caley, I think that one of the takeaways I have from this game is that he is woefully out of his depth.
He is out of his depth. And you know, I promise I'm not going to go back to where this real problem
is. Don't believe you.
You know, as in Nick Caserio.
So
that'll be the end of that discussion. Let's talk about the job that Caley is doing.
I want to do that. I want to press pause and have a little sidebar with my friend here.
What's up?
Figgy Fig. You got the over or under on John Lopez over. Next?
Over.
You got the over. I got the under. Over. I'm trying to see. Oh, like you meant total number. I was going to say the next time that he throws it out, but he knows. That's fair. how many more times does he mention John Carroll through the rest of this program?
He already mentioned it mentioned 27 it times already.
I'm
so
set the over under at, and I'm not. I think this is a good line, 6.5.
Yeah, I was gonna say
you going over.
I'm gonna take the. I'm gonna say 5.
Okay,
so I'm gonna take the under.
I'll take the over.
I think right now I think he probably listening to us right now, so he gonna try to scale it back a little bit.
He's not. He can't. Listen. This is a sidebar.
Okay,
you can't hear this. I'm gonna be me.
I gotta be me.
All right, sidebar over. Lopez, you good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nick Caley looked woefully out of his depths. And there was a few things for me that absolutely solidified that. One of them is just, this was a deeply predictable game plan. You have 15 days is going to be a refrain, I think, over the entirety of this week. But as long as we're reflecting on this game, 15 days, that is the separation between the game that you had in Baltimore versus the Ravens and this woeful performance that you had in Seattle, at least offensively. And what I saw were things that just were so obvious and so easy to counteract. First and foremost, did you know that you had big boys in the middle of the defensive line? Because it felt like you didn't. Early on in the game, they were running directly at him. Eventually, they started trying to get to the outside, to which what that wasn't very beneficial. And when they did, when they were trying to run a little bit more to the edges, I knew on this weird rotation that they had at left guard that when 75, Lakin Tomlinson was in, they were going to try and run on his backside. And that blew up a whole possession for them when they were moving the ball decently well, staying on schedule. They get to third and short, run for nothing. They run fourth and short, and they run for nothing. Right? Like, it was so abundantly obvious what was happening that I was like, this is your moment. This is the time for you as an offensive coordinator to be able to come out and make an impact, because this is when you need it. This is when you need the advanced schematic prowess of a coordinator to help elevate what your team is doing. And what you gave me was like a stretch left behind an offensive side of the offensive line that had been getting beat. I was so deeply disgusted.
If I'm just talking about Nick Caley as an offensive coordinator, and I really feel for the guy because I think he's getting pushed around and influenced by Nick Caserio. To me, you could disagree. I feel for him because I think Nick Caserio has made all the decisions and given him the groceries, which isn't what a general manager is supposed to do. But at the same time has ill-equipped him. And so maybe that's one more reference at him, because I do feel sorry that he doesn't have the pelts on the wall or the experience to say, this is what I want, this is what I want to do, this is what I have confidence in. I think that's his biggest problem. He is, frankly, inexperienced and out of his depth. And that's the last thing that you want for a contending team. I mentioned this to you during the break. The Seahawks could have easily put up 45 points or more on this team.
Correct.
Easily. The defense bailed your ass out.
There was a lot of good fortune, as much as that sounds insane.
A couple weird penalties and calls that wasn't.
A safety.
That safety, yeah.
A touchdown that they scored but didn't score because they fumbled into the end zone. There was another, you know, pass interference that would have been a big play for the Seahawks. Your defense scored a touchdown, your only touchdown. So when you get an opportunity like that, any offensive coordinator worth their salt has to figure out a way to get it done. So my first thing about Nick Caley as an offensive play caller is
don't forget the Woody Marks touchdown that happened later,
and the Woody Marks touchdown. Yeah. Yes, he's out of his depth. I don't want to say he doesn't know what he's doing. I think he knows a lot of football. He doesn't know how to be an offensive coordinator. That's the first thing.
Not yet, at least not in these, because you talked about the fumble, or, you know, that was recovered and then fumbled again by the Seahawks that ultimately provided a touchback, an incredibly lucky play. You want to know one of the things that happened there? Something that we actually talked about a good amount was you need to break the huddle in time. That one, the huddle was broken at 10. So they snapped. There was a delayed blitz, that's when CJ is like wrapped and trying to throw the football, and then the ball comes loose. So that wasn't helped at all by the coordinator. Like, he's putting CJ in an adverse situation. And to be fair, CJ didn't cover himself in glory, because both of those plays that you're talking about, CJ running backwards to get himself into a place where it's almost a sack, and then CJ trying to throw a football while he's wrapped up in a circumstance where either make that decision earlier to throw the football away or protect the football. Like, you got to do one or the other.
Yeah, and the other thing that I think is his biggest problem is in-game adjustments are, frankly, I didn't see any. You know, the biggest indicator was third down and one, fourth down and inches, third down and goal, fourth down and goal. And he honestly believed, oh, my guys will push those guys into the end zone. They got stood up from the first whistle to the last whistle. They got flat out outmanned on the on the offensive line, and an offensive coordinator needs to be able to see that in real time, make the adjustments, and obviously counter what they're doing. They had 56 rushing yards, and you're trying to hammer it up the middle on these so-called gotta have it plays. I feel sorry for the guy, and I know that's kind of an insult in itself, and I don't mean it that way. He's out of his depth and should never have gotten this job.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon a dismal day, Bob's ice cream van looked gloomy and gray. Although he had big ambitions, his socials lacked creative vision.
That bad?
Maybe vamp it up a tad?
I have an idea.
Bob launched Canva and got into gear.
Create the video in the vampire theme and make it the funniest meme.
It went viral. Bob's business, a revival. Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at canva.com.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Skip the gym, not the workout. With Hydro, you get a full body workout in just 20 minutes. Hitting 86% of your muscles in one smooth, low impact motion. And now there's a new Hydro Arc, Hydro's most advanced rower yet. Arc introduces Hydro Metrics, tracking your power, endurance, and precision every time you row, so you can actually see your progress. Go to Hydro.com and use code FIT to get $100 off any Hydro rower, including ARC. That's HYDROW.com. Code FIT.
No, I mean, that was the thing, yeah, that I was watching this game. We were giving him, at least I was trying to give him more benefit of the doubt. And, you know, it's probably fair to look at this and say, this is still pretty early in the process with the system they're trying to bring in. But all of that could have been foreseen.
Mm-hmm.
And you were looking at those, at least I looked at those two games, Tennessee, Baltimore, and was like, all right, this is a foundation. What can you do to build on it? And they rolled back some of the things that they did in those games. You got Dare Ogunbowale here in third downs again. You're switching up your offensive line. You talk about musical chairs. That's real musical chairs that they're doing there, mm-hmm, drive by drive. And then, frankly, it just... The thing that told me flat out that, oh, he's not capable of this.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to a place where I sincerely believe this, and maybe someone will ultimately come out and tell me no, right from that building, no, right, there was other circumstances. I looked at that, what was that, in the third or fourth quarter?
Late third quarter, I know what you're talking about.
Where they start just chucking the ball down the field on seemingly go route after go route, and it felt like when you're playing Madden and you have nothing else,
you just chunk it.
I'm going four verts. Mm-hmm. It felt like they ran out of plays,
yeah,
in this game, which is an unfathomable, mm-hmm, there we go, thing for an offensive coordinator to have happen.
He ran out of ideas. And then let's combine that with an offensive coordinator that kind of got onto something in the Ravens game, and we all know now that there was a lot of reasons for that. And then you have 15 days to prepare. And not only do you not make any of these changes that you're talking about, you go backwards. You go back to Dare Ogunbowale and you go back to rotating guards. And then beyond that, and I know he got a concussion, but Nico Collins, how many times did I say this has to be a Nico Collins game? This has to be a Nico Collins game. 4 catches, 27 yards.
And Nico Collins had his because he had a drop that, yeah, was very – but it got to a point where the only way they were getting Nico Collins the ball was back shoulder fades.
Yeah.
Like they couldn't even find an engineer different ways to get him the football, which again, like the things that you knew that you could go to, Nico Collins, Dalton Schultz, it became one note even getting them the football, because, mm-hmm, what was the Dalton Schultz way to get him the football?
Right. Well, there were several different ways, but right down the middle and
well, they weren't even really
the
able
fake
to
fake to the running back and then in the flat, but they ran that like six times.
That little switch release, yeah, that happened. Yeah, like it was just these are the only things that we can go to.
Yeah.
Like he felt like a college student that's like, hey man, I got ramen in the fridge. Like this is my one go to that I can use to make. There's a poverty in this offense right now. And a good amount of that is because the coordinator's out of his depth. It's not all of it, and that's the thing that's most frustrating. I would love to be able to say that you switch the coordinator and all this is fixed. Is that something that even feels like that's on the board for you? That's a capable maybe answer to try? Because again, at this point, once you make the decision or once you feel confident, as I feel like I am, that he's out of his depth, what do you do besides take that responsibility away from
him? You change play callers at least. Try to at least stir the pot, wake up the bats. The plays are not going to be any different, you know, because it's too late in the game. You don't have a training camp and all. You can't change the offense, but maybe just the common sense stuff that we're talking about. I mean, those short pound the ball up the middle runs were just like even before the ball was snapped, not just the announcers on TV, but we were saying, what are we, you know, don't run the ball up the middle. Don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, there you did it.
It's running up to a brick wall.
Yes.
Man.
Yes.
Yeah. And
so would you agree with that? Like at least let's like I said, wake up the bats is what I'm talking about. It's going to be the same offense, so maybe it's not going to be, you know, terrifically successful, but get another set of eyes out there. You know, someone that maybe can get the play calls at least right.
Or at least get them in on time for you to be able to come out and have a better chance at running them correctly. And maybe, I don't know. I feel like they're naturally inclined to just, hey, we're going to support who we have here. I think that there's real reason for them to consider the possibility of changing coordinator. And that's so frustrating because this is something that was always a possibility with bringing in a first-time play caller. I'm not saying that every first-time play caller is going to do poor, but this is probably about as poor as a first-time play caller can go, especially with the expectations that were with this team. Does this at all, and this is a sick question to ask, does this at all change the perspective that you have on Bobby Slowick and his tenure?
Ooh, that's a very good question. Not really. In my gut, I'm just going with what my gut is telling me right now. Not really. But again, you can also give Bobby Slowick a little bit of grace, you know, whatever you want to call it, because the guy from John Carroll that's bringing in the bacon, you know, also did the same thing to him.
The thing that's even more frustrating about, like, the clear, I think I've absolutely gotten to a place where I don't think that Nick Haley can do this, at the very least right now, but I just don't know if he's going to be the offensive coordinator that you need this year, is, again, that is not one of those things that you can find hope in. Like, that's, you at this point, with the way that this team is, you got to try and find the places where you go, can you salvage this to make some level of good out of a season that is clearly going to be wasted in the larger scheme of, you're not contending for no Super Bowl. That's gone and dusted.
Yeah.
I can't find any hope in the offense right now.
Last thing. Why would the offensive coordinator all of a sudden put Braxton Berrios out there?
That this team has just decided to go with. I was about to try and find an answer. I don't know.
I have no clue.
Because you paired the Braxton Berrios with the bringing back Lakin Tomlinson, with the Dare Ogunbowale on third downs. Like, there was it just didn't feel like, and it felt like it came from above, the offensive coordinator, because Braxton Berrios was also returning kicks, a job that Jalen Noll has had.
Yeah. Came from above, huh?
To me, it seemed like they were kind of feeling themselves the last two games and said, all right, we could get back to what we really wanted to do from week one. This would work.
Yeah.
And it didn't.
You are correct.
Oh, the reactions are not really fun, but they are the reactions to a 27-19 loss for your Texans. They're 2-4. We'll get back to that a little bit later on. But coming up next, let's get into what's popping, where if you want to at least find a way to needle Seattle fans, we can talk about the ALCS. Let's do that and more next. All right, let's get into what's popping here in the Loop on Sports Radio 610. Opening day for the National Basketball Association, and it starts with your Houston Rockets and the champion Oklahoma City Thunder. But it's your Houston Rockets on NBA on NBC.
I got to hear that music again.
The Round Ball Rock?
I got to hear that music again.
You got Round Ball Rock over there, Fig? If you got it, help my partner out. He needs it.
I'm about as excited. That's a little confession before confessions. I'm about as excited about that as anything.
I am too. I we've been talking about this Rockets team. We've been discussing. There it is. There's John Tesh's masterpiece. Round Ball Rock, you'll hear it return as we get NBA on NBC.
This makes you feel better.
100%.
Right?
Yeah, we got Hoop coming. Yeah. And
who cares about John Carroll?
This Rockets team, really, really well regarded. Actually, although I was looking at one power rankings, and I want to get your opinion on this because they had it like kind of tiered, but they still had power rankings. They had the Rockets at 10th at the very bottom of the looking better, like basically looking better or looking good tier, which was the second tier. Would you agree with that? Like, the Rockets maybe around 10th in the league.
Seems low.
I think it's an acknowledgement of the idea that all these things sound good in principle, but you kind of want to see it, especially without Fred VanVleet. Like, where's the central kind of playmaking? Is the offense going to come together? You know, those types of things, I think, are the questions that are still there.
You're probably right. The VanVleet thing has to be a huge
It seemed like
there.
They probably got burnt on a couple other ones where KD was in Brooklyn and probably had them high. Phoenix had them high.
Now it's like,
I ain't getting burnt on this one.
Yeah, yeah. So who's going to win the Eastern Conference and Western Conference?
Oh, you want to?
Damn, early, man.
Hold on.
The season starts tonight.
Hold on, because we have our
tip off yet,
the
man.
The season
Pause.
Starts tonight. And we did it for the NFL.
And that's why when we get to our season entrance survey.
Okay.
We'll get those. But yeah, think about that. I'll go ahead and give you a little tease. Like, I do think in the East, I got two teams that I'm bouncing back and forth on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to decide if I like the Knicks because I like Mike Brown as a head coach in the NBA. I think that he's a fantastic coach, especially offensively. He didn't get his love. So I do think that he could maybe take what is a really talent-rich New York Knicks team and maybe funnel them and kind of keep them, rather tether them together in a way that Thibodeau kind of just ran them down, maybe get them in the right place. Cleveland Cavaliers, man.
Yeah.
That's a team that don't get enough love, and they look really good as well. But regardless, we get to see the Rockets get going tonight against the Champs. And that's going to be, you know, banner night and everything. Excited to see Kevin Durant and Steven Adams return back home. Steven Adams, he's going to get more love.
He has been down the stretch last year and in the postseason. I said it multiple times as we were watching the playoffs. That dude was my favorite player down the stretch.
He's such a delight.
Could do so much. Absolutely so much.
Come out. Talk with me about this Rockets team. I guess I might oblige you if you want to talk Texans, but I mean, it's Rockets night because I am out at Little Woodrow's in Edo tonight, 6 p.m.
Hey, they better have them TVs on with that NBA on
there's
NBC
a lot.
Thing oh, yeah, going
that's
on,
right.
man.
That's there's right. a lot of TVs in there, too. You've been to the Little Woodrow's in Edo.
Yeah.
Celebrated the World Series Championship in
that's right.
Woodrow's.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah, come out, say what's up to me. If you were watching that game last night between the Texas Seahawks, you're like, this, I hate
multiple
this.
Times.
At least you could take a little bit of solace. I don't even know how much this actually hits you, but take a little bit of solace that Seattle fans didn't get everything they want.
Mm-hmm.
The ALCS Game 7 was happening, and for a good long time, it looked like they were going to do it. Mm-hmm. They're up 3-1 until a Houston legend came through and did what he does. I believe there was a couple of runners on. I think second and third. George Springer at the plate. Do what you do, big dog. Do what
1-0
you do.
Pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Left field and deep. A Rosarena turns. Gone! A Springer! Dinger!
That's right.
4-3 Blue Jays in the bottom of the seventh.
That was on man, the Blue Jays radio network, by the way.
It kind of hurt me, them saying Springer Dinger, man.
It hurt? But
that part did.
That part.
Because that was a Houston thing.
I'm like, man.
Yeah, but who wasn't happy for him, especially after, you know, the Mariners fans cheered when he got hit, and he's George Springer. And I've said that this on this show, and I've also was texting with a bunch of buddies yesterday as we're talking about that. He's the one player, even when Correa was not here, that I missed the most.
Agreed. Stronger. Yeah.
Totally missed
him. Yeah. I was actually really happy for him because he was there for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
He ain't been an Astro for a little bit.
5 years.
It's been five.
Can you believe that?
It's been 5 years.
They talk about him like almost a native Canadian. I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
wait a minute.
Been here and in then
he
five
said,
years.
He said, happy to do this for this country. I'm like, this country?
What are you doing?
What you doing,
You're
man?
You're an American, George.
I don't know. I have a feeling that he won't have to, you know, pay to drink much in Toronto or in very many other places in Canada. I mean, this has been the first time that they're going to make the World Series in, what was it, 30-some years, 20-something?
Mm-hmm. 93,
when they played Philly?
If memory
Did they play
serves.
Philly?
Yeah, 32 years.
Yeah, and if memory serves, 93. But yeah, man, that was fantastic to see.
Was that Joe Carter?
Was Joe Carter? Yeah. Well, I saw somebody say that's the biggest home run in Blue Jays history, and I went,
"Yeah, Joe Carter got something to say about that, big dog." Was Reggie on that team?
Ooh, I don't remember. Yeah.
Or was Reggie on the year before that?
Yeah.
But yeah, man, like this was a huge game because at some point we're watching this game here at the studio as we're watching Texans, and we're like, oh, man, it feels like it's going away as myself and Sean are actively rooting against Seattle just because we don't want to hear their guff.
Mm-hmm.
And then here comes George Springer. Like, very poetic to have that. By the way, though, I will give a shout-out to a Seattle Mariner, or two Seattle Mariners, because I have enjoyed this man's season all year long, Cal Raleigh, and he managed to get a home run in this game in a way that made sense. Like, all right, I get it, man. This dude continues to show up. For his team, or at least he knocked in a run.
Mm-hmm.
Did he? No, he had a home run in this game. Apologies. But then also, did you see Josh Naylor?
Yeah.
Putting it all on the line for your team. Mm-hmm. There was a potential double play situation. He's running to second. He's forced out at second, and he decides turn his back, jump up, and get in the path of this ball. He takes a ball. Was it the back of the like back of the, to the neck, lower part or the higher part of his back, or was it helmet? But he jumped and he was like, "This ball's not getting to first base. We breaking up this double play."
I
kind of
respect that a little bit.
I do too,
because they were sitting there like, "Hey, technically that's not in the rule book."
Right, right.
But the umpire's like, "Nah, you can't do that."
And I want to do a little shout out to a guy that I loved as a player. I covered him when I was writing a column. Has been in baseball for consecutive years for 40 years. 40 years. And should have been to multiple World Series in those 40 years, but never managed to do it. Don Mattingly, bench coach of the Blue Jays.
I didn't even realize
he was there.
Don Mattingly is the bench coach. And and this isn't like named. I've had some of my favorite baseball conversations ever were with Don Mattingly. And I was just, that's the first guy, well, after Springer, that I thought of.
So now you have a Dodgers Blue Jays World Series. Are you like American doubt, or are you rolling for George Springer and the roller coaster
that is?
That's
a trick question, man. That's a trick question.
I don't know.
I
love Ohtani. Go ahead and say it.
Let's go. That's your favorite guy. That's your favorite guy. That's yo man's. Yo man's.
I love Ohtani, and I love when Figgy does that, like, because he has a little bit of like a Hispanic accent from the East LA in it too. Say it again.
Let's go Dodgers.
Yeah. Which is
it's in there.
It's in there.
I wasn't even trying to do that.
No, you did. You did, and I don't mind it. I like it actually. Like I'm from East LA or something.
So yeah, that's gonna be. Honestly, I think I'll enjoy watching this World Series just because there's some big playmakers in this World Series. Hey, so there should be some good baseball.
James Click on it. He's on the Blue Jays too, right?
Mm-hmm. Hey. I wasn't as happy for him.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not as worried about that.
Yeah.
Sorry to leave this as the final portion of what's popping, but this is a story that's kind of been developing, and it's been weighing heavy on me. And you know, there's some players in various leagues that you just, for some reason, have an attachment to. And the dude that didn't like this nickname but was affectionately referred to as the Muscle Hamster, Doug Martin, who's a former running back in the NFL. He was an all-pro, in fact, for the Bucks. He passed away on Saturday, early on Saturday morning. And come to find out that he had passed away in police custody, which raised a lot of questions as to what had happened. Apparently, his representation put out a statement from Athletes First that basically spoke to something that privately Doug, and I'm reading here, Doug battled mental health challenges that profoundly impacted his personal and professional life. Ultimately, mental illness proved to be one of the one opponent from which Doug could not run. So apparently following the media reports, the family wished to clarify that Doug's parents were actively seeking medical assistance for him and had contacted local authorities for support. Feeling overwhelmed and disoriented, Doug fled his home during the night, entered a neighbor's residence two doors down. Then he was taken into police custody. And now we need to find out what happened in that police custody that ultimately ended Doug Martin's life.
Yeah,
so
there's
it's really deeply sad.
So many details that we simply do not know other than what the family has said. And we can believe that. And just sad, you know, ultimately, you know, the mental health aspect of so many people. It's just incredibly sad.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you never know what someone's going through, but it really does hurt that like that interaction ultimately took away a dude who played really great, but was just looking for help in that moment. So condolences to Doug Martin's family. Really sad to see that story and how it continues to unfold. But you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us. Coming up next, let's circle back around to this game where there's something, I mean, there's been a lot of smoke, especially for my partner, for the GM, a little smoke for the offensive coordinator. I'd like to bring it to the head coach. Why in the hell was this team so ill-prepared for this game? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm, for sure.
That's it?
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure during the Black Friday sneak peek sale going on right now at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music, while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local, independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call, because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.